How many had breakfast this morning? How many had breakfast this morning? How many didn't have breakfast this morning? Raise your hand again if you didn't have breakfast this morning. Okay. Well, that's... Hey, Shayla, could you do me a favor? Could you go back there and get me... Well, you know, I like something. Give me something good back there. Can you give me something good back there? So the reason why I want her to go back there and get me... See, you know what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking, man, she's not going fast enough. Here's why I'm thinking she's not going fast enough, because I didn't have breakfast this morning. You know what I want to talk to you about this morning? I want to talk to you about the power of hunger. How many know that hunger, that is, Shayla, thank you. Oh, yeah, I like this. This is good, okay? I'm going to put this right here, and don't be surprised if I start eating it. Because hunger is powerful. Have you ever had a really busy day, and you're running around, and you miss breakfast, and then you miss lunch? And about 2:30, 3 o'clock, you're like, I gotta get something to eat. You know what I mean? Gotta get something to eat. And maybe you're driving somewhere, and maybe you don't even have time to get something to eat. But you're going to make time to get something to eat. Are you not?
Yes.
Why? Because you're really hungry. You know what? I was with Shayla and Joel the other day. And we were working, and we had just had a lot of work to do. And so we were working, and Shayla and Joel said, man, what was that? Where did you go?
What's
Rio's? He's like, man, I want to get a pizza. I want to get a good pizza. I want to get a Rio's pizza, okay? And I was like, okay, whatever. But when he got the pizza, when we were eating it, I wasn't like, whatever. I was like, man, I'm glad you went to Rio's. This is good pizza. Because here's what I'm talking about. The power of you being hungry for something. I could entitle this the power of desire or the power of passion. And what I want you to start to develop in your life is a hunger to be righteous. A hunger for you to care about what God cares. If you look at Matthew, look at it with us on the screen. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And Jesus says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed just means happy. Are those who have this desire, righteousness, to righteous. Let me give you a definition of righteousness. Righteousness is just doing or developing behavior and a mentality that you care about what God cares about. How many know God has some desires? God has some things that he's passionate about. God has some things that he wants to accomplish. But what we need to do is we need to have those things become the things that we're passionate about, the things that we care about. You know what? I look at so many of you, and I don't mean to pick one person out to exclude somebody else out, but I look at the passion, the desire that Edgar and Rebecca have for the youth. And they started coming to our church, and you know what? They came up to Tamara and I and said, hey, we just want to know, you know what? Can we get involved and help Shayla and Joel out with the youth?
Yes.
Well, praise God And watch this. And maybe 2 or 3 years ago before that, they weren't thinking about the youth in Pico Rivera. I'm not saying they weren't, but I don't know that they were. But they are now. Amen?
Amen.
They're thinking about it now. Why? Because they're passionate about it. They're hungry. And watch this. They're hungry for the things that God is hungry for. God's will is that none perish. How many know that includes all those kids at El Rancho High School? That's His desire. And so what Jesus says is, let me tell you what, you're going to be happy when you start caring about the things that I care about. And when you start caring about the things that I care about, there will be this fulfillment in your life. See, most people are running around. Most people have no clue what they were even designed for. They're on this earth and they're trying, and what they've got caught up in, what most of them have got caught up in is this materialism. Thinking that as soon as I get this job, as soon as I, whatever it is, as soon as I am able to buy this car, as soon as I am able, then I'm going to be fulfilled. And what I'm telling you is that's not going to happen. Because when you get that car, whatever it is that you're marketed to, and you're marketed to all day long. Companies, businesses, organizations spend millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to market to you. I've been told when you go to Disneyland, you know what, and you smell that popcorn, you know what, you're not smelling that popcorn. That's not popcorn. That's popcorn smell that they've released all throughout. So when you go buy the popcorn thing, you're going to go, well, I'm going to get some what are you going to say?
Popcorn.
I'm going to get some popcorn. Yeah, amen. And how many know they're not selling that popcorn for 99 cents a bag? How many know one of the reasons why? And listen, you're just like, oh, are you ripping on Disneyland? No, I'm not ripping on Disneyland. I'm just telling you, you know what? And why do they want you to eat popcorn? To get thirsty. You know what I mean? And how many know, you know what, that can of Coke or that bottle of Coke or that cup of Coke, how many know that's not 99 cents either? These companies are spending millions of dollars to figure out. I like what I heard one guy say. They're not even going to try to fill you up. They're not going to try to figure out what's going to fulfill you. If they figured out what was going to fulfill you, they'd be out there passing out Bibles.
Oh, there it is. Amen.
They're trying to create a void, a hole, a perceived, this is going to satisfy me. And I'm not saying that popcorn doesn't taste good. Because it does.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yep.
One of the reasons I love, and I hardly ever go to the movies, because there's hardly anything worth seeing.
Come on, preach it, Pastor. Preach it. Come on.
You need to, listen to me. You need to protect your heart. You need to protect your heart. Because out of your heart, from your heart are going to be the issues. Yeah, but the boundaries of where your life is really going to be. So, I like that. Hey, just because you're marketed to doesn't mean, just because it looks like a good movie doesn't mean it is a good movie.
Oh, come on, there it is. Oh.
Amen. So they show you all the cool parts, or the trailers, and then in between is all the junk that you sit there and pay $12 to let the world brainwash you. You know what? That fornication is okay. That being ungodly is okay. It's an accept. No, it's not okay. I don't want to follow the crowd. Because Jesus told me the crowd is going to the way of destruction. I don't want to follow that crowd. I want to be a follower of Christ.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Because he is the one who has everlasting life. He says, I've come to give you life, and like what one version said, and life to the fullest. Here's what Jesus says. Let me tell you what. If you will focus on me, and if you will allow your mind to, if you'll allow me to change your thoughts, that now you care about what I care about. That's righteousness. Caring about what God cares about. That's righteousness. Amen. If you will desire to care about what is important to me, here's what I'm going to do. You are going to be happy. Not a happiness, not a short-term, not a short-term happiness. You know what I mean? This fullness where you're really content. You're really happy. Amen. How many know there are not a lot of people really happy?
Oh, come on.
Amen. We ought to be really happy.
That's right.
Because we serve the one true and living God.
Amen.
And he's promised if we'll care about what he cares about, we'll be fulfilled. I only have one point today. Amen? But it's a good point. So put it up on the screen. Here it is. People who are passionate for God's ways will be happy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's say that together. People who are passionate for God's ways will be happy. How do you know they can be happy? Because Jesus said, if you do this, I'm going to fill you. You'll be full. You ain't going to be, see, hungry. Ooh, you know what I mean? How many know when you eat, you know what I mean? How many know you could eat, you know, something great today? We're going to have spaghetti today.
Yeah.
Really? Are we going to have a spaghetti day?
Yeah.
Listen, really good spaghetti today. Amen? Really, really good. We're going to have good spaghetti today. But how many know if you eat spaghetti with me, me and my wife, we're going to eat spaghetti together. And if you sit down and we eat spaghetti, you can even go back twice and get a double portion. Amen?
Amen.
But how many know at 5:30, what are you going to be saying?
More.
Man. I'm thinking about taco right now. Right? You're going to want something else. Jesus says, let me tell you what. If you care about what I care about, there's going to be this satisfaction.
Amen.
That you're not always going to be. And that's where most people are. Most people, they're always trying to get what something that the enemy says, this will make you happy, this will make you happy, this will make you happy. Listen, none of this is going to make you happy. When you start pursuing the things of God, the way he thinks, what his desires are, when his desires become your desires, you're going to get happy.
Amen.
You're going to get happy.
Good.
You're going to get happy. I want to go ahead, show me this that picture, okay? I want you to see this picture first, okay? I don't know. No. That picture. I don't know that's what the Apostle Paul looked like, because they didn't have, iPhones back then. But I want to talk to you about a little bit about the Apostle Paul for just a short period of time today, because this guy was happy. He's in jail, and he writes, matter of fact, two of the letters that he wrote in jail, but Philippians is one. He just says, you know what, like in Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, and again I say rejoice. He talks about joy in all of his letters, but it's interesting because you'd think that the letters that he wrote in jail would kind of have a tinge of, you know what I mean? Hey, wasn't that awesome? I don't know if you guys have been doing this, but I want to remind you, you know what? You all were commissioned last week, right? You all were, what do we call it? Not commissioned, but how many know y'all got deputized last week, okay? And the main thing that I want you to notice as you got deputized is to watch your own mouth, amen? Amen. You remember the hall monitor in high school? I mean, in elementary school, you know what I mean? And he'd, you know, walk around like, you know what, and you gave him back, okay, you're the hall manager, and the hall monitor. And he was a nice guy until he became hall monitor. And as soon as he got deputized to be hall monitor, all of a sudden he started to be not such a nice guy, okay? The main thing I want you to be observing is, you know what, are you complaining? Are you murmuring? Okay. But then, if you know somebody real well, if they murmur, what do you have permission to do?
Shut up.
Yeah. But don't say it like that. Amen. Amen. You know what? You know what? You can say, hey, remember, we've been deputized. Okay. But this guy is in jail, and he's writing these letters in jail, and he's full of joy. And you can tell he's full of joy. He'll say stuff like this. He'll say, you know what? To live is Christ. To die is... Man, to die is a bummer, man. He's like, man, when I'm living, and think about that, because that's what I'm talking about. See, he is walking in the things of, all he cares about is what's important to God. That is his main focus. So here's what he says. To live is Christ. Oh, and when they kill me? What you going to do? Well, we're going to kill you. Yay! Yeah, right on, man. You gonna do it today? Can you up that a little bit?
Oh, there it is.
Come on. See, he wasn't afraid to die. He saw death as a gain. But as long as he was here, let me tell you what. What was important to God was important to him. And so that's why he's in jail and he's not having a bad day. How many know you determine whether you have a bad day or not? We think circumstance. No. Don't allow circumstance to dictate whether you have a good day or dad. Don't allow your family to dictate whether you're gonna have a good day. Don't allow your dog. Oh yeah, but my dog, you know what, ripped up the fence. Okay, well then, you know what? You know, take care of the dog. Amen. But be happy. Is that not right? He's happy. I want to show you this. It's just an amazing story, just a short story, but it's amazing. It's in Acts chapter 14, and we'll start with verse 1. Acts chapter 14, starting with verse 1. Now, it happened at Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. Where are they at?
At the synagogue.
No. They're at the synagogue, but they're at Iconium. Okay? I don't know if that's the right thing. I didn't check it on my... on my Greek, but say Iconium. So they're in Iconium, and at that place, Iconium, they go to the synagogue, watch this, of the Jews, and spoke to a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks. Here's what happened. They go, and what happened is they start preaching the gospel, and at the synagogue, where the synagogues were predominantly, at that point in time, they were Jewish. Jewish people have been speaking for years and years and years and years about the Messiah coming. Christ comes. Some of the Jews recognized that is the Messiah. Some of them didn't. The ones that are still in the leadership at the Jewish synagogues, they're not Christians. They don't recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They don't recognize the Messiah came. They're still looking for the Messiah. So they go preaching the gospel in the synagogue saying, guys, you know, they're not thinking these people or most people didn't even know about Christ. They knew about Christ, but they're going to the synagogue saying, hey, matter of fact, over and over again, you'll see in the Bible, they would refer to the Old Testament to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. That's all they're doing. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. They're excited because the Messiah has come and they want to share it with their Jewish friends that have been looking for the Messiah. Does this make sense? So they go to the synagogue and they're preaching, but not only do they preach to the Jews, they're preaching to the Greeks too. Everybody can accept Jesus, right? Next verse. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Okay. Well, how many know these Jews were they were passionate. It was passionate Jews along with Gentiles, don't get me wrong, who put Jesus up on the cross. Is this not true? So you'd think it. You think the next verse would be, so they got out of there. They ain't afraid of their life, man. They're not afraid. Here's what they are. To live is Christ. To die is gain. They're passionate. Listen, when you get passionate about the things of God, you're going to start to get happy. And many, many people right here today, many people watching via cable. Let me tell you what. I love you, but I'm going to tell you. The reason why you're not happy isn't because there's not happiness to be found. It's because you're looking in the wrong places for happiness. And so the reality is, these people, you'd think that that they're going to say, man, we better get out of here. No, look what it says. Therefore, they stayed there a long time. Okay, how many know that's weird? Okay, but they don't care about their life. They care about getting people saved. They care about taking as many people into the kingdom that they can. So they stay there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to say it, but we're going to be a little less loud. No. How many know they're right? And so you can be intimidated by, you know what, these people who are coming against you. They're not intimidated. They not only stay there a long time, they speak boldly in the Lord, who is bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by the hands of Jesus. No, by these apostles' hands. Amen. Next verse. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews. Messiah is still coming. Part sided with the apostles. Jesus, the Messiah, has already come. Next verse. And when a violent tempest was made by both Gentiles and Jews, a violent tempest, they are starting to say, they go from, hey, be quiet, to starting to go out and get their crowbars.
Wow, there it is. Come on.
Right? With their rulers to abuse and stone them. What's stoning? Stoning is when they throw you down and start throwing rocks on you till you are dead. Next verse. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. They're not leaving until they start picking up rocks, and then they say, okay, we're going to get out of here. But watch this, so powerful. And they were preaching the gospel there. They don't stop preaching the gospel. They just go to Derbe, and they start preaching the gospel there. Next verse. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Everybody say, never walked.
Never walked.
Listen, don't ever, 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 I don't care how long, you know what, a sickness has existed. I don't even care if you had that ailment since birth. You know what, that ain't too much for God. Nothing is too much for God. You know what, you've got to get that out of your mind. Next verse. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observed he intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. I don't believe in that healing stuff. Okay. All right. But he did. And Paul saw it. Next verse. And with a loud voice, he says, man, it's bold. Stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped up and he walked. How many know? This is a cool day. Amen? Okay. Let's see. Here's what I want you to catch. Then go to verse 18. Go to verse 18. And with these sayings, they could scarcely refrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. Here's what happened. They know this guy's never walked before, most of them. You know what? They've been around town. They know this guy's never walked. He was born this way. But now he's walking around. And they go from upset with these guys to now worshiping them. They're God. See, back in this day, they believed God was everywhere, was in everything. And so when they saw that, they started thinking, these guys are God. So they started, oh. And they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. To them. Can I tell you what? This is just a side note, but it's really important. Because we have so many people who have come out of the, you used to go to Catholic Church. And I love Catholic people. But let me tell you what, the worship of people is wrong. It's wrong. You know what? It just needs to be said. It's just wrong. We worship God. He is the only one we worship. Amen? And so they're freaking out. Guys, stop it. They can barely stop them because they're so into them. Next verse. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. I want you to catch this. Here's what happens. Show me the map. I want you to catch this. So, these guys come from. Go back to the verse. I want to make sure I get this right. Go back to the verse we had before. And saying these things, the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. Okay, so go back to the map. So here's what they came. They came from Iconium and from Antioch. Why are they coming there? Well, they're so mad at them because they went to Iconium. That's where they first came. And they're just so ticked at them because they're preaching Jesus Christ is the Lord. But before that, in verse 13, he did the same thing in Antioch. So now these Jews are coming, and they find out they're at Lystra and Derbe, and so they come. Well, you and I look at that and go, oh, that's not far away. No, understand, this is 25 miles. This is about 150 miles. As the crow flies. These guys, and they've already left. You know, you'd think, okay, we're leaving. You know what? Do your own thing. You know what? They shake the dust off their feet. We're out of here. You'd think they'd leave them. No, they are going to leave. They're going to get them. They're leaving, and they're going to find these radicals who they perceive are preaching ungodly doctrine. Go back to the verse. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul. They're not going to say, hey, be quiet. They are coming to kill these guys. They're going to throw... Listen, and here's what happened. They stone him. They're throwing stones at him to the place where... Why do they think he's dead? Because he's not moving anymore. And then, because here's what they... First they stoned him, and then they dragged him. He is lifeless. And they're dragging him. Where are they dragging him? They're dragging him out of the city. Get out of here. Now, you say, well, was he dead? I don't know. A lot of people think he wasn't dead. He was just unconscious. But how many know God can raise people from the dead? I don't know that he wasn't dead. And you don't know that he wasn't dead. Paul, when we get to heaven, we could find out Paul got raised from the dead. So where do you get that? Because all these guys suppose that he's dead. I don't know if he was. I don't know if he wasn't. Here's what I know. He was jacked up. Right? Next verse, 20. However, everybody say however.
However.
Come on, everybody say however.
However.
See, here you say, Pastor, why are you going over this? Here's why. I want you to understand that if you will get hungry for the things of God, you're going to get filled. Yeah. And I want to give you an example of somebody. See, you know what? In our day and age, it's like, you know what? We have some little inconvenience, and we go, eh. You know what I mean? You know what? You know what? We're over, and you guys do a great job with the kids, but you're over in the kids' ministry. You know what? Vegas, she's doing all kinds of things. She you know what? All the things she did yesterday, she forgot to make sure the glue sticks, you know what, were not clogged up. You know how many know the glue sticks can get clogged up? She's over there, and you know what? She has all this stuff for you, and you know what? And the glue, and you know what I mean? And you're supposed to be working with you, and the glue sticks. Hey, and you're like, that's not right. It's not right. Glue sticks aren't right. You know what I mean? These ought to be functional.
Yeah.
You know, how am I supposed to? Hey, listen, here's the thought. You know what? Next time, come early, you know what? And make sure the glue sticks are unstuck.
Yeah.
You know what? We get so upset over such minor things. And can I tell you what? Why? Here's why. Because you're not really hungry for the things of God. And what I want to teach you, I want to show you an example of this guy who's just radically on fire for Jesus. So here's what happens. However, who cares? However, when the disciples gathered around him, so they gathered around him. That's why. Well, I don't know. They could have prayed. You know what? They could have. I don't know what they were doing. Okay. They could have held hands. You know what? They could, but when they gathered around him, he rose and went into the city. What city did he go to? What city did he go into? Well, they just dragged him. Watch, they just dragged him, the Bible says, the verse before, out of the city. He gets up. I'm going to go back into the city. It's like, what are you doing? You're going into the city that they just stoned you in? Yeah, because let me tell you what. Because I'm into getting people saved. I won't be intimidated. You know what? I have the Spirit of God inside me. I do not have to accept, you know what other people accept. I am called to fulfill what God has called me to fulfill. And I'm happy to do it. He goes back in the city. Watch this. And he rose up and went in the city, and the next day he departed, you know what, with Barnabas to Derbe.
Man, nice.
The same place that they're upset with him for. Next verse, watch this. Next verse, no, let me see. Yeah, next verse, look at this. Strengthening, what's he doing? Here's why he goes back. Because he's strengthening the souls of his disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith and saying, watch this, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God.
Come on.
Can I tell you what he's doing? And I'm going to tell you what he's doing, and then I'm going to do it to you.
Come on,
here's what I'm saying. I'll tell you what my dad told me. When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Amen.
Amen. See, we have been brainwashed. It's like we just give up. We just stop. We just like, you know what I mean? And here's the deal. Here's what we're saying when we stop in our mind. Here's what we're saying. It's really not worth it. Okay, that's really important. Now watch this. What is that? That's the opposite. You're not hungry for the things of God.
Wow.
You know why Christians stop serving God? Here's why. Because in their mind, it's just not worth it.
Wow.
Okay. And watch this. No, follow me in this. Follow me in this. Here's the deal. You might go home and you might be able to enjoy the TV and some Doritos, but when the bag of Doritos is done, you're not going to be fulfilled. Because let me tell you what, just like those who are hungry for righteousness will be filled, those who aren't hungry for righteousness, they won't be filled. There's people, can I be honest with somebody? There's people who go to Christian churches and they come in the church and they enjoy the worship, but they never get involved in doing anything. And 4 months later, 4 weeks later, 4 years later, they will leave the church. And they'll do this. They'll do a couple things. They'll either say, that church wasn't, you know what I mean? It just, you know, pastor wasn't feeding me anymore. And you know what? And they'll leave and they'll go to another church in which they'll do the same thing unless they change their mind.
Wow.
But here's the thing. They'll never be happy.
Wow. Right.
They'll never feel fulfillment. And they'll always scratch their head and they'll always judge it as that's the church's fault. And can I tell you what? There's a lot of churches nowadays and they got the flash. They got going on. And they even got a crowd, which makes you think they even got it going on. And you think that, listen, there are churches, and there are small churches, but there are also large churches, and they are just blowing it. Because most of their people don't come every week. Most of their people come once a month. That's problematic. How many know those people that come once a month aren't doing anything in the kingdom of God? But here's what's the scary thing. It's scary because here's what's going. They're perceived themselves to be saved, to love Jesus, to be in the kingdom of God. For after all, you know what? They said the sinner's prayer. They went to Christian camp growing up. You know what? They pray over their food. You know what? They have pictures of Jesus at home. They have a Bible. Can I tell you what? This message is a great message. Amen. Because I'm telling you that you need to get desirous for the things of God. You only have one life. And all of us only have 24 hours. All of us have the same amount of time. Oh, Pastor, I can't. I'm too busy. No. It doesn't have to do with too busy. It has to do with your desire. And here's the thing. Here's what you need to know. You can keep on. And I'm not saying, look, you're not a drug dealer.
Oh, there it is.
I'm too busy, man. I'm selling drugs. You know, no, you're not a drug dealer. But you're not going to be fulfilled. And here's why. Because you're so big, you're up in the rat race. And the Christian thing is just another thing that you do. It's not who you are. You ever see that the guy and he's got the bowling shirt on and you know what? And you know what? He's got the bowling bag. You know what? And you look, he doesn't have one ball. You know, he's got four bowling balls. And you know what? And when you look at his ball, he's, you know what I mean? They're shiny. They're really nice. You know what I mean? He's, you know, and you go over to his house on Saturday, and he's watching, you know what? He's watching bowling, you know? Who watches bowling? I don't know, but he's watching bowling. Can I tell you what he's into? He's into bowling.
Oh.
Pastor, that's deep. Let me tell you about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was into building the kingdom of God. And the Apostle Paul was filled. I mean, let me talk to you about Peter for a minute. Peter, all the apostles, I don't know if you know this, all the apostles, they all were martyrs. They all died. The only one who didn't die was John, you know what I mean? And John, they tried to kill him. They threw him in some boiling oil.
Wow.
And he was like, you know, he was like kicking back like it was a jacuzzi. Ooh, I like this. You know what I mean? They're like, get him out of there. This is freaking us out. So he's the only guy who didn't. But Peter was interesting because they crucified him. But before they crucified him, he said, oh, one thing, before you crucify me, can you not crucify me the way most people get crucified? Because Jesus Christ was crucified, you know what, like this. I want to be crucified upside down. Can I tell you what? This is someone who's fulfilled. Paul says again, to live is Christ. That's who I am. To die is gain. Paul gives us a great example. He's just walking back into the mess, because he doesn't see the mess. He sees it as an opportunity. I want you to just examine, not in a negative, you're bad people because you don't really care about the things of God. If that's what you heard in this message, you're not hearing what God's saying to you. So let me be clear. You know what? I'm proud of every single one of you. Listen, if you didn't care about the things of God, you wouldn't be here.
There it is. Amen.
How many know it was cold this morning?
You'd
be in home sleeping, you know, I'm just going to drink some hot chocolate today. I deserve it. If you didn't care about the things of God, that's where you'd be. You're not. You're here. Most of every single person that is in this room has served in some way. You know what? And if you haven't, there's no condemnation. Just receive what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Get involved. Amen. Maybe you feel like, man, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, but I don't want you to hear condemnation. I want you to feel encouragement. You know, if I'm lost and somebody tells me, oh, dude, here's our problem. You turn left there and you start to turn right on that. You know where that bend in the road and that fork is and that, you know what, that bowling place was right there. That's, you turn right, you start to turn left. Or left or right, whatever. You're not like, dude, you make me so, you're like, what do you tell that guy? Thank you. See, that guy is trying to bless you. I don't know what God is saying to you, but here's what I know. God is trying to bless you today.
Amen.
In telling you, you've got to be involved. You've got to care about the kingdom of God, because everything else. You know what? Solomon, who was the wealthiest person, Solomon was so wealthy that silver became too tedious to count. So they just throw it out there in these big silver dunes. We don't got time to count that. Just throw it up on that, you know what I mean? This guy was the wealthiest person ever. And at the end of his life, he could have whatever his life, actually in about the middle of his life, he recognized, man, all this stuff, it doesn't satisfy. But here's the good news. Caring about the things of God will satisfy. Sweetie pie.
All right. I have a great scripture I want to share with you. First, just to recap a couple of things that Pastor said. He said at the very beginning that we'll find our joy when we become passionate about the things of God. And then, I don't know if you covered this scripture. I think you did. But those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. I think he said that too. Okay, so Let me just come off of those two things and speak to you for a minute. So important. This is in Isaiah 58, chapter 58, verse 13. It says, and I'm in the New International Version, just so you guys know, so that I don't confuse you behind me. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on the holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then, so he's just going to tell us, he just gave us kind of the path, if you will, to what I'm about to say, then you will find joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride and triumph on the heights of the land and to the feast of the inheritance of your father Jacob. It is so important that we do what God has said, which one of the things he has said is, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. And he wants us together. He wants us to let him direct our life, direct our path. Amen? Now listen to this, why it's so important. I just need one more hand, huh? I'm not sure right now. Let me see where I'm going here. I got it. I want to go to my Psalm scripture. Give me one sec. I'm going to go to Psalms 139:16. And I thought I had it pulled up, and I do. Okay, so listen to this. In the book of Daniel, first of all, in Daniel, let me give you the scripture reference so you know, Daniel 7:10. It's talking about the judgment, and it talks about the books, B-O-O-K-S, were opened, okay? Now listen to Psalms 139:16. In this is all going to tie into what we're talking about here. Psalms 139:16. For your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. When we let God direct us, you know what? He talks about, we're talking about, then we're going to be filled. You know what? We're talking about why. See, we have each and every one of us, there's two books. And one of the books, you're called by God to be part. The Bible says that God plants you in a house. You're called to be part of a body. The Bible says that growth will come when each one of us does our share. You have a share that you bring to that body. There's something that you're to do. God has a plan for our community. Pastor and I will not fulfill the plan. We, as a congregation, will fulfill the plan that God has for us. And did you notice when it's talking about the Sabbath and not do what you want to do, not just go your own way and say your own things, but it's in when we obey him in his ways, as well as in Psalms. See, in Psalms, we're being told, see, God, there's so many people, they decide what they want to do. I wouldn't know any of you, and you wouldn't know me, if I did not let God direct my path. I had no intention of coming to this church, how long? 17 years ago. Matter of fact, I had a lot of unintention of coming to this church 17 years ago. And I could have, because I have a free will, I could have not come. We could have taken a full-time position down in Orange County at this church that was offered to us. We could have, you know what, relocated to Orange County and been down there and been doing all kinds of things for God. We wouldn't have left him. We would have been children's pastors at that church. We would have been supporting that pastor down there. We would have been serving God down there. But on Judgment Day, when I stand before God, when he opens up the book, do you notice it was before, let's read that one more time. I want you to catch this. It's so important that we understand. Wow, I need Vegas to put that thing on my phone so it doesn't spin. I need to learn that thing. Okay, here it is. Thank you. Your eyes saw my unformed body. See, God already has a plan for me before I was in my mother's womb of what I'm to do. He's going to choose what I'm going to do, not me. Do you understand that? Your eyes saw my unformed body, all my days ordained. God's already got a plan for me. And can I tell you something? Even though I cried when he told me, go to Pico Rivera, and I did cry, just wept. Ask me if I'm suffering. Do you understand? See, I've got to trust God. God, you know. You know. I trust you. You know way more than I know. So, all my days were ordained for me, and they were written in your book before one of them came to be. So before I ever drew a breath on this earth, God had written down, you know what, that I would be coming to Pico Rivera, and that he would want me to do this, and that he would want me to do that, and that I was going to be part of this, and that I was going to be part of that. Wow. And on Judgment Day, books are going to be opened. That's one of the books that's going to be opened. So he's going to open up that book that he ordained for me to do. I'm not in charge. Say, I'm not in charge.
I'm in charge.
God's in charge. He's going to open it up. He's going to say, okay, like you didn't go to Pico Rivera like I told you to. Oh, yeah, God, but it's okay because, like, I was serving you. I was down here, and I was this, and I was that. And you know what? We really supported that pastor, and he loved us. He really wanted us as the children's pastors. You know what I mean? And you know, it was, yeah, we did a good job. Did you see the kids? Did you see all the kids we got saved? Did you see what we did? Do you know what they said about us as children's pastors? Do you know they said that, whoa, what Pastor Drew can do? We helped that church, Lord. Is not going to go down like an A-plus for Tamara. Do you understand that? You weren't in charge. I had this for you to do, and you didn't do it. We have to, if we are going to live fulfilled lives, the only true fulfillment is in God knows. He knows so much about us that we don't know. He knows the beginning from the end. And we have a free will in between. And we can do whatever we want to do. But we're going to answer for what we do. So it's so important as we want joy in our life and we want fulfillment in our life that we understand how to get it. There's a way. Amen. There's a way. And sometimes that way doesn't make a lot of sense to us. Sometimes we think we know a better way. Hey, can I say this? And I know every time I share with you the early days of coming here, that I open myself up to be kind of vulnerable. You think, what's her problem? Why does she want to come up in here? I know that. But having said all that, can I tell you, I would cry today if I wasn't here. You know, God knows so much more than we know. I had no idea. That this could be this. That we could be us. I didn't know that. You weren't here. This place wasn't here. Only God knew that.
Amen.
And I know just from city officials that we talk to and people in our community, man, you know what? If we never, ever got one person connected with Jesus in this city, we have done much already in changing the way that people view God based on the fact that we came and that we've created what we've created. Because this place wasn't this place. And it did not represent who God was. So if we never did another thing, we've done much. But we're going to do a lot more. God has a big plan for our community and the surrounding communities. A big plan. And we need to let God lead. Amen? And then we just follow what he's saying. Because I'm telling you, you don't know what you don't know. but he knows everything. And we just got to trust him. Amen? Yeah.